Kim, Ava, Natalie, Nate, John, Vince, Gracie, Samantha, Emma, Amelia, and Damon. And there were more people on the trip that aren't with us right here at the moment, and that would include, the Johnsons. So that was Hope, Emily, Ava, and Logan Johnson. And Olivia Fuchs was with us as well. And also, I think Ben Molisani is, ministering with the kids over there. So we had a group of 19 that went on this trip. I think the biggest that we've taken there. And again, we went to Philadelphia. This is actually the third trip our youth group has taken to, or at least the third trip our youth group has taken to this point to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, like a lot of big cities in the Northeast, the church in that city has really been on the decline for like well over like 50 plus years right now. Sometimes they refer to Philadelphia, among other places, as even like a post-Christian community. That means that the church, flourished once upon a time there, but now less and less people. In fact, the majority do not regularly attend any type of church or faith community. So what we did there, all of us were divided into, different ministry tracks. And what that included really for just about all of us is that throughout the week we did do like physical labor or service at homes and neighborhoods and, sometimes at, institutions like schools and whatnot. But also did like relational ministry as well, got to know kids, their parents, other people as well, and got to talk with them. Another very big component of the week, as well as the mission service, was also there was a lot of worship and discipleship throughout the week. So every evening we had something like a worship service going on there, and every morning all of the students with their with their ministry service teams would do Bible studies with them. And the theme of the whole week was, you'll probably hear a little bit more about it as some of the people speak, but the theme was restored. All right, so near the beginning of the week, we were talking about what has been lost from our lives because of sin. And by the end of the week, we were talking more about what has been restored to our lives because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And again, we'll hear a bit more about that as we go on, but that, again, that was the theme of the week. Personally, I love going to Philadelphia, not only because I see it as an area of need, but for also like personal, you could even say selfish reasons. I have family that actually lives in that area. My sister in particular, her family lives in downtown Philadelphia. So we actually, on Wednesday evening, we had some free time. We got to, just hang out and have fun in the city. And we got to meet up with my family. So some of them met my sister and my niece. I get to play with my niece Ingrid a little bit there. And actually, I snuck a picture. It might have already scrolled past it by now, of my niece Ingrid in there. When you see it again, she's like half buried in sand, kind of proudly demonstrating that she's conquered a recent fear of sand that she had. And I, her Uncle Brian, that's me, got to help her overcome that. So that's why I put that in there. So most of the time, when Jay would have normally been preaching, you'll be hearing from both Damon and a number of the students here, about their time during the trip, what God did in their lives. And I just want to commend them for coming up and speaking about that. At their age, speaking in front of a congregation would have been a huge stretch for me. You'll hear from a number of people during this service, but a lot of the students that you won't see right now actually spoke about their time during the first service as well. So congratulations and thank you for being willing to do that. So most of the team can sit down now, and I'm going to pass off to Damon.
Hello, everybody. As Brian said, I'm Damon, Damon Peters. So I was pretty nervous to be going on this trip. So this was like my first full week missions trip where I was going to be away from home. So it was a little nervous. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I knew the Lord was going to work in our way, in our midst, in a mighty way. He was going to work in my heart and in the hearts of our teens. And I was especially excited because my daughter Ava, who you'll hear from in a minute, also was going on the trip. So as we were getting ready, I was like, this sounds pretty exciting. I'm pretty excited. I heard about from the teens what it was like, from Brian what it was like. And then the schedule came out a few weeks beforehand. Brian really showed us probably several weeks ahead of time. And 7 a.m. was breakfast. That's pretty good. That's like sleeping in for me. I can get up at 6, take a shower, get ready for the day. Lights out, 11 p.m. Ooh, that's going to be a little tough. But you know, the Lord is really good. He gave me the energy to get through the day and then some. It was a huge blessing. So one of the other parts, though, that I was nervous about was what track I was going to be put in. Brian asked us for our skills, so I put down masonry. I did that with Bethany's dad for a summer. I put down teaching. I do that on Sundays with the teens. I forget what else I put down, maybe painting. So I got there. They don't tell us until we get there, so everybody's is a secret until you get there. PCY, which is painting, construction, and yard work, that's pretty good. And then social. What's social mean? Do I just got to talk to people? That's pretty easy. Well, my ministry track, when I found out a little bit more about it, actually made me even more nervous when I got there because it was about going to one of the places we went to was going to be an elementary school and painting bathrooms, no problem. Second day, we were going to go to a home called St. Edmund's. And the children in this home are handicapped, and most of them cannot communicate with us. So they can't communicate verbally. The staff there began to really build relationships with them, and you can see it. They enjoy them. They really spend the time with them. They know how they communicate. But most of them communicate in very subtle ways, like just the way they're moving or the way they make a certain noise. So when we get there, we all come in. She kind of prepares us, the person who's the head of this. It's a Catholic ministry. We get there. We go to the chapel. She tells us a little bit about what to expect. And we go inside, and everybody kind of freezes because none of us have, maybe a handful of the people there were prepared because they've been through a family member or somebody close to them that's had these disabilities. So as we go in, we just are expected to go up to these people and start conversing with them. And the hard part is they're not talking back to us. So we find out that the best way to communicate with them is either sing a song. A couple of our teens, Samantha and I think Ben Malasani, got in front of this guy who's like kind of jamming on his own, and they dance with him. And they just bring this big smile to his face. And I told a couple kids a couple stories. It's something I like to do with my kids. I tell them stories. I make them up. And I told a couple kids the stories. They fell asleep, so it tells you how good it was. And then I went up to one girl, and I was able to sing Amazing Grace to her. And when I first started talking to her, she didn't like talk to me, didn't look at me, didn't even respond to me. Then I sang Amazing Grace, and she looked at me, and her eyes lit up. It was just a really special moment. And then Thursday, we went back to the school, finished the bathroom, and then Friday we went to a day center for adults that have dementia and Alzheimer's. So I got to meet two sweet ladies there, and at first one of them didn't really seem like she wanted to be there. She kept asking the other one, when do I leave? Are you going to take me home? They didn't know where each other lived. So she really didn't want to talk to me at first. But you know, a pastor came over who was there for the week, and he led them in singing Amazing Grace again. And at that point, the conversation turned. And these two ladies, one of them was very conversive all along, but this other one who didn't want to be there, she began to converse with us and began to talk to us. And in the end, I was able to pray with them And both of them gave me a hug. And it was just a sweet moment of fellowship with these two ladies. But the highlight of my week wasn't out there ministering to the public, because they're going to be continuing to minister. They're going to be continuing to, like Brian will probably touch on later, there's people who are there who are going to continue those ministries and they're going to continue to outreach to those people. My favorite moment was two moments, one with Matthew as we were going to our group night out. So in the car, I had a couple of the younger students with me, and then Matthew was in the front seat with me. And he got to share a little bit of his testimony with me and where he's at in his walk with the Lord. And it was the sweetest moment when he said, "It's because of my dad. He's such a man of God, and I just respect him and where he's at and what he's done in life." And it was just so touching to me as a dad, and I know that he's a young man who just wants to seek the Lord. And Dave, you should just be really thankful for this young man who just wants to follow in your footsteps and love Jesus. And then the other moment was Ben Malasani and I were in the same track, and another young man who is like, these two extroverts are out there, they're like being crazy. There's poor old man named Alan, got more FaceTime this week than he's gotten his whole life, I'm sure. Every time he walked into a room, they yelled, "Alan!" Poor old man, but he was as red as a beet all day long. But we went on a prayer walk on the last day we were there, and this young man was able to open up about some of his struggles and some of the problems he's had in life, some of the things he's faced with. And I haven't faced him to the same degree as him, but I was able to relate on a very personal level of having a stepfather and having times in life where things are hard and you go through struggles and things aren't always looking the best. You might walk away from God for a season. But he opened up and said that he's been trying to turn his life back over to Christ, and this week gave him the power to do that. And it's one of the people that Ben's keeping in close contact with. He's trying to reach out to him continuously. And it's just those moments that make these trips so worth it. The theme of the week was restore. And in the first service, Kim talked about the illustration the pastor who was there from Boston shared with everybody that was there. And it was putting in a canoe in a stream. It's easy to go downstream. It's easy to float, go that direction. But if you try to go upstream, it takes hard work. And as we were singing the worship songs today, the one talks about, is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is worthy. And it's so important to put in this hard work day in and day out. And that's what these students need from all of us. They need to see our hard work, and it's going to grow their faith. And they're going to go out into this world and make a difference. And that's what all this week was about. So I want to say thank you to everybody here, because your donations, your prayers, your time, it all made a difference. Thank you.
Hi. Sorry. My name is Gracie Smith, and I'm 14. And I'm one of the many people that went on the Embuge trip in July. So I'm here to explain my thoughts and memories that I got from going to Embuge. When we first arrived to the campus, the girls and boys split up and to go to our dorms. And then we went to our worship. And that's where we met our groups that we would be spending with for the rest of the week. I was in a group with some of my, with some of the people in our group. We did PCY, which is paint, construction, and yard work. One of those days, half of our group went to an elementary school to clean, and the other half went to do yard work at a spot that you couldn't really even tell if it was a jungle or somebody else's house. I was in the half that went to the elementary school. When we went to the school, the first thing we noticed was the graffiti on the walls of the school and on the shed that was right near the school. The words on the shed were kind of harsh, especially towards a guy named Barry. We don't know who he is or what he did, but people didn't really like him. Some of the things that we found at this school were shocking to see where are the kids, because it was just not pleasant seeing it where little kids would walk every day. And yeah, but anyways, we did so much that week. We did everything we could to serve, even if that meant getting our hands dirty, sweating quite a bit, and sacrificing our noses to stink. Yeah. But it was all worth it in the end because it was all for him. So not to brag or anything, but our team did get second place in an extremely weird but really fun race that we had. It was a blessing being able to go and serve our Lord, and thank you for praying for us for that week. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name is Emma Smith. I thank God every day for having the opportunity to go on two missions trips this year. My very first trip was Makarios, and that was out of the country. And MFuge was my second, and MFuge was special to me because it was here in the U.S. When we got there, I was put in a group that was not my first choice, but God had a different plan for me that week. I learned that I can serve God through just about anything, including yard work. The first day, we showed up to this guy's house. It was in the city, and it was a house on the street corner, and it was just like a fenced-in yard, and all the weeds were all the way up to the fence. So we got in there, we got it done, and then his neighbor came over and was like, hey, I have a lawnmower, I'll mow the yard sometime this week. So I thought that was pretty cool that his neighbor was volunteering to help. But just at the end, seeing their faces when we were done were priceless, and knowing that God was smiling down on the team at the end of the day just was a blessing to me. I want to thank you all for that prayed and helped us with our financial aid and for the team. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ava Peters. While I was at MFuge, my track was games and recreation. During track, me and the rest of my group went to a girls and boys club the first day and a public park the second day. After that, we alternated between the two. I was glad I got to hang out with kids with ages 5 to 13. I was so glad that I had that specific track because I love to play and be with other people. When we weren't doing track, we were worshiping, eating in the cafeteria, doing devotions, playing games, or having free time. I liked doing everything while we were there, except the unfortunate lack of sleep. One thing God taught me this week was to keep moving forward even when you don't get enough rest.
Hi, I'm Amelia Dero, and so me and my roommate Samantha both had this problem. We didn't get up on time. We were always the last ones out of our rooms. The first day, the neighbors that were next to us had to come into our room and wake us up, and we slept through all of our alarms, turned them off, and just went right back to sleep. We just couldn't stay awake. And on the way back from, I messed up. So I got PCY, which is, in the part of the PCY I got was yard work. And on the way back from one of the trips we made into the city, I was really tired, so I was sleeping. And we got a flat tire. And I think this was the same day on the way there, a lawnmower leaked gas all up in the area of the car. So that was quite interesting. And it honestly taught me patience, and it brought me closer to God, because I learned quite a lot there about how to get closer to Him and what things I should and should not do to follow Him. And yeah.
Hello. My experience at Enfuge was amazing. My team name was Tsunami, you know. I had Natalie, Lamar, and Ben Melisani. He's not here, but, you know, in my opinion, our team was the best. I think everyone thinks that about their team. But, you know, we did win both Mega and the scavenger hunt, so not to brag, but... But Mega was really brutal, you know. It kind of ruined my body for, like, the rest of the time we were there. But my team did PCY and other things. We painted a elementary school bathrooms. I think there were, like, 3 or 4 floors. We also went to a home for disabled teens and a home for elderly people who had, like, Alzheimer's and stuff. I almost cried at the home for elderly people, because there was a lady there who had a purple Disney shirt on, and she couldn't, like, really move. She was in a wheelchair, and her head was just down. And I heard the people over in the next room singing, so I started kind of, like, sang quietly along, and she lifted her head up and just looked at me. That was kind of made me almost cry. And so the home for disabled teens was called St. Edmund's, and... You know, as Damon said, there was kids there who, you know, were like, they couldn't really function, so they were just either laying down or sitting in a chair or sitting in a wheelchair that they had to be, like, buckled in. And one kid, I think his name was, like, Chris, he liked to hear one song over and over and over again. So me, Cole, and some other kids just kept singing to him over and over and over again. And Nick, he liked to dance even when he couldn't, like, use his legs. He just shimmied in his chair, and he would always call either you mom or dad. You were his mother or a father or both. Either way, it was just kind of interesting. I liked the last day, even though I cried again. Because when we were at the place where, you know, our, like, team meets, one of the friends that I've made there, she started crying. She was like, I never normally cry, but she was bawling her eyes out the entire time. And when we were, like, going to worship for our last time, we were singing, and all of a sudden I stopped because I started crying and crying and crying, and I couldn't stop crying. And I really didn't want to leave, and till this day, I want to go back, and no matter how hard the schedule was, waking up at 6 a.m., but not actually at 6 a.m., because, you know, we were late, it was still awesome, and, you know, yeah, that was my time.
Thanks, Sam. Is somebody's phone? So I said to the group before the trip and during the trip that it was very personally important for me that we use, like, especially the service time that we had during that week, use as much of that time as well as we could. So being part of a Scarlet Thread Ministries locally and, you know, having youth centers that can be used for similar type of things, we've a number of times in past years hosted groups doing similar sort of missions trips to what we were doing in Philadelphia. And I've had, you know, I've experienced a few different types of groups. It is a fair amount of work to actually, like, put together and organize, like, projects that the, you know, that the teams can do. And we've had groups that have come in and really worked with as much effort as you could, you know, reasonably expect, you know, people to, you know, to exert. You know, hung out as much as they could with the kids that we had at the centers, kept on working at, like, the labor-type projects, and really were, you know, a genuine and significant help to us as a ministry. But we've also had groups that have come and, you know, every time you're not, like, trying to actively push them into, you know, into doing something, and, you know, they're just, you know, they'll just by inertia, you know, fall back and not, you know, and just talk with each other or just play games together. And so again, I've experienced both types, and it was important to me that we were that, and that we were one type and not the other. And even though I didn't get to see everybody, like, at their ministry sites, because I was at my own, and most of them were doing something else, from what I had been hearing, it sounds like, you know, these students really did tackle, you know, the tasks they were given. In particular, the ministry track that I was in was called Games and Rec, and for 2 days that involved, we went to a Boys and Girls Club and helped facilitate activities, you know, for kids there, and played with the kids that were there. And two of the days we spent at just a public, you know, park and playground, and played with, you know, whatever kids happened to show up, and in some cases spoke with their parents. And one thing I noticed on that site, Ava Peters was actually in the same track that I was. And, you know, especially when we were at the park and I got kind of a chance to see what everyone was doing, she was really, like, in the beginning of those days, you know, that we were there, things were kind of slow in the morning. You know, it took a little while for kids or groups of kids to show up. But that entire time, like, Ava was looking for, you know, like, a kid to play with. And when somebody showed up and they didn't have somebody else already engaging them, I noticed her just jumping right into that. And, you know, it's that can be a hard thing to do. You know, just somebody you don't know approaching them and, you know, trying to start something up, you know, have some fun with them and talk with them. But I did notice her just actively doing that throughout the day. So again, I really appreciated how our students, you know, acquitted themselves during the trip. One thing about my experience this time around that I've noticed, I've thought about this other times during missions trips that I've taken before, but really thought a lot about this during our trip this time to Philadelphia, was how, you know, how essential it is to have local people, local Christians and churches who live, you know, in the community, you know, that you're going to short term, you know, there. People who are going to be there before you got there, are going to be there when you leave, and week after week, continue the relationships that, you know, that you got to start up while you were there. So a couple reasons why I thought about that in this case is, you know, again, we spent 2 days at this Boys and Girls Club, and one direction we were given as we were going into there is that we were not actually allowed to ourselves initiate, you know, faith conversations with the children that were there. So unless they asked us a question, you know, about, like, why were you there, or they did help us a little bit by giving us props and, like, wristbands, and some of the students wrote stuff on their hands that could be, like, discussion starters. But unless a child asked you something that led into that type of conversation, you couldn't just bring it up all on your own. Now, on the other hand, though, if you happen to be you know, someone who works at that Boys and Girls Club, or a volunteer at that club. The same rule probably still applies to you, but you're going to have a lot more opportunity to minister to people there. You're going to get to know some of the children's parents. They're going to get to know you. You're going to get a chance to talk about life. And by being there, again, week after week, you just have an opportunity that we didn't have as much of to really minister to people in an explicit type of way. At the park, when we went there, both of the days that we went there, there was a local pastor. He actually has kind of an interesting story. He used to work at a mega church down south, and I can't remember exactly what city he was from. But he left that church to actually start a church plant in Philadelphia, because again, he saw that as an area of need, where the church had been declining. And so he actually lived and did his church in that neighborhood where the park was and where we were at. And so while we had an opportunity to speak to, sometimes, again, children's parents, talk with them about life, maybe get into a conversation about church with them. Sometimes during that week, there were people who were saying, well, I used to go to church, but I really don't do that anymore. I've really gotten out of the habit of doing that. We could instead of just saying, well, I hope you get involved somewhere, we actually did have an opportunity to introduce those people to, the pastor who was hanging out and actually establish a connection. So it's possible, it's certainly possible, and this sort of thing happens, that when you have a gospel conversation with somebody who you're never going to see again, that they might receive the Lord or make a decision, on their own to, I'm going to go back to church, and they'll maybe follow through with that. But I think much more often, unless you're able to make a connection to the church, that's usually, it doesn't go much further than that conversation. So again, it was a really big blessing to have that pastor there on that site. Again, somebody who's there, who's going to be there next week and week after week. And again, I mentioned like my sister and my niece who lives in that town. When I think about like the city that my niece is, that Ingrid is growing up in, and the probability that most of the people, that she's going to get to know around her there are not going to be involved in a church. Probably very few at all are going to be like explicitly or obviously Christian, like where you can just tell by the way they talk or the way they live their lives that they're Christian. It means a lot to me that there are ministries still in that city that can stand out for the way they behave and what they do, the effort that they spend, showing that the Church of Jesus in that area does care unusually, to an unusual extent, for the people around them. So it does give me some hope, for that place and for what my family experiences living there. Again, I mentioned that the, and Damon talked some more about, the theme, as we were going through the Bible that week was restored. And that had a lot to do with like what Jesus brings and establishes in our lives that we may have lost because of sin. But also even more than that, like what he can build into our lives that we may have never had if sin didn't enter the world or our lives and Jesus didn't have to sacrifice himself and die for us. One of the verses that, that was definitely preached on that week and, you might even quickly associate with this theme was 2 Corinthians 5:17, which goes basically like, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So basically what that means is that when Jesus enters a person's life, he makes it different, like radically different from the way that it was before. And if you read a little bit on in 2 Corinthians 5, after he says that, one of the things that is obvious that Paul means by that is that Jesus has given him a new purpose in his life, something he is supposed to be about. One name he uses for that purpose is he says that Jesus has given him a ministry of reconciliation. Right? God is trying to reconcile the world, you know, the people of the world to himself and using him to do it. And another thing he says about him and that about himself, Paul, in that same vein, is that he says, we are ambassadors of Christ. Christ is making his appeal through us. So what that means, you know, if you follow Paul's line of thought there, what he's saying is that starts here. God has a desire himself. Right? He desires for the world, the people of the world, to be reconciled into a real relationship with him again. All right, into a joyful relationship with him. All right. And inasmuch as Paul is an ambassador of his job is to go out and make that desire that God has plain to the people, you know, around him. Okay, to communicate that desire to others. All right. And he seems to do that in a few different ways. One is by, like, the way he talks and the tone that he has when he talks to people. So when he preaches the gospel, it's not just a casual thing for him. I do think that there is a place for, like, casually describing the gospel to a friend or a family member or someone you come across. Not every conversation about Jesus has to be, you know, like, equally awkward. But sometimes Paul, and we should, make it obvious, you know, by the way we're speaking, that we really want them to know Jesus, to have a relationship with God, to receive Jesus. So how you say that might be very different, you know, from any words that I would use, but it would sound like, you know, it might sound something like, please, you know, pleading with somebody, like, please, if you just believe, or if you just receive Jesus, okay, you can have a relationship with God that is more joyful, more fulfilling than anything else in the world. So please consider this and have him. And again, this is one thing I've been thinking about, like, a lot over the last few years about that passage is, you know, how often do I make that desire, like, plain from my own voice or my own life? And again, I said there's a few ways Paul does that, but also certainly with his manner of life. Like, how much he sacrifices to get that message to people. How much of his time he gives up, how much, you know, or how much of our time we should give up, how much of our, you know, of our money, you know, just how much effort we put into this. So again, I think, you know, in Philadelphia, I really appreciated that there were people who, you know, week after week would, you know, continue the type of ministry that we, you know, that we got to enjoy for, you know, while we were there for a week. But, you know, in their lives, they were putting effort in here. And it was a good reminder to me, because I think short-term missions trips should always, you know, should always grow your faith in a much longer-term way, that you're more devoted to Jesus after, you know, you've done this than, you know, than when you started. It was a good reminder to me of how important it is to, you know, put in day after day effort myself to serve other people and make it plain to them that Jesus really does desire a relationship with them. So, again, thank you, you know, team, for presenting, and thank you all of you who are involved in any type of way in supporting our trip there, praying for us, giving financially so that we could go and making this possible. So I think that's about it. I know Jay, yeah, had some announcements. I know one was the Awana table, right? It was the, what, so you can, oh, okay. I'll just pray for us, and then I think he's coming up. So I'll close, and then he's got a couple announcements. Father, again, You know, thank you for today and the, you know, and the opportunity we get every week to worship, you know, among each other, worship you. And thank you in particular now for sending us on that trip. Thank you for a church that supported us and made it possible for us to do that. Pray for, you know, both the children and the families that we got to interact with, that you would, you know, continue to bring up the gospel into their lives, that you connect families to churches in that city, and that you bring about real fruit in a way that only you can. So I pray that whatever you've begun to do in our lives, you would, you know, in our hearts, you would continue and make us more devoting and loving of you. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.